Welcome to WOSN's production of The Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, high school basketball just keeps getting better in Lima Land. We're seeing sellouts every week and another huge game this weekend.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, when we started doing this back in the fall, right when football started, and every week we would come on, we talk about the great matchups that we had coming up that weekend, and there'd be marquee state-ranked games. You're like, it just can't get any better than this. And then we get into basketball season, and it's like every 2 days, there's a number one versus number one, yep. Top three, top four matchup.
It's not just boys, it's girls, too.
The girls are killing it. It is basketball right now in Northwest Ohio. I mean, we've always talked about how spoiled we are. This year seems like it's extra.
Incredible.
Yeah. There are some matchups that we've had this year that maybe should have been in arenas, right? Case in point, maybe Shawnee and Senior this weekend, because you could sell as many tickets as you have for these types of games. The amount of interest, and rightfully so, because these teams are so good, is absolutely through the roof. This is a golden age for basketball.
Well, see, these are some of the best things we've seen, and I'm going to segue right in to the Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. Miles, we'll start with you.
Oh, we got to talk about the Buckeyes winning the national title. And Danny, I don't know if you saw this or not, but there's a certain quarterback that got the player of the game on offense. Yeah.
He got robbed. So Quinshon Judkin should have got
started,
it.
Started, what, 13-13 that game?
He was fantastic.
The 3rd-and-11 throw to Jeremiah.
I think two of us said.
I give him credit. That was a pretty good throw.
I think two of us said after the Oregon loss he'd lead us to a national title. I think two of us did agree with that.
Yeah. So that was one of them. Columbus Grove's atmosphere when they knocked off Spencerville was absolutely fantastic. Not just what the student section and how the players played and the whole community reacted and all that stuff, but during the JV game, they honored the football team, and they honored Mays and Barraza for making All-State, and not one single person left that gym.
That's awesome.
To go to the concession stand because they wanted to see that. That was an amazing moment. And then after the game, Columbus Grove, great upset victory. Man, it was fantastic. Nobody but Columbus Grove people thought that they could win that game, right? Everybody at Columbus Grove thought that they could, and that's one of the reasons why they did. But afterwards, you know, Spencerville could have been boo-hooing, boo-boo face and all that. No. I went out in the hallway after doing the post-game interview. You know who's out in the hallway congratulating Columbus Grove? The Sensiboss. Class act. They're out there saying, great job, guys. And they could have very easily just been hiding in the locker room, boo-hooing, baby-facing it. But no, they had a lot of class. That was a lot of cool stuff this weekend.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, weekend of upsets. We saw undefeateds fall. And we'll talk about it when we get back into the games a little bit. But that Northwest Conference right now, it is up for grabs. There are five teams in the mix now all of a sudden because of that loss on Friday night with Grove and Spencerville. So for me, I got a couple. The first thing, I just want to get the continuation of the sellouts. We have been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. These gyms that are selling out every week because of these matchups, because of the scheduling that these coaches have done, they don't shy away from competition. We have seen it. We have another sellout. We're recording this on Monday. There's already a sellout for it. I was leaving swim practice at the Y this morning at 7 a.m. And a friend of mine whose son goes to Shawnee, we were walking out talking. He calls him on the phone and he goes, he's just letting his dad know that he'd left Shawnee because he'd gotten to the high school a little bit before 7 to get in line. There was already a line. He had gotten his ticket. Wow. And he said, and when I left, 25 more people walked up at 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
to get, and that game was sold out before noon today.
It was cold.
Incredible.
But the good part is he was learning to swim. That was awesome.
I wasn't learning to swim.
Hey, you said you went to swim practice? Yeah.
Speedo or no Speedo?
Oh, no. Listen, I don't want to do that to anybody. We don't do that.
Let's talk sports. Yeah.
So that's my first. The second, I want to give a shout out to a couple area coaches. We had two coaches in the area get their 300th victory.
Yeah, really cool.
Coach Yant, the OG girls coach, gets his 300, and Chris Sauter, the boys coach from Ada, longtime Columbus Grove coach, back at Ada now, picked up his 300th as well. So anytime that you see coaches in this day and age be able to stick around long enough to get their 300th victory, that's a huge milestone. We don't live in an era where coaches stay for long stretches anymore. It is a difficult life to be a high school coach for any sport, but especially especially high-profile sports like football and basketball. So being able to pick up these victories and be around long enough and to have that kind of success, that's a huge accomplishment. That was great to see.
I think I read Chris Howell's article in the Lima News. Fantastic piece. Coach Yant averaged 23 victories a year to get there.
Did he really? Yeah, I hadn't seen that. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's pretty impressive stuff.
And my last one, it's not basketball related, but we all love sports and we love what sports does to us. So I wanted to share this on here. I know last week I shared a swim best thing I saw with you guys. I had a swimmer break a school record. This week we finished up our regular season, and we got a couple seniors. I let the seniors do whatever they want. You know, hey, it's your last swim. If there's something you want to do, pick it. I want you to be able to, you know, finish your career however you want to finish career, right? So I had a swimmer come to me and says, hey, I'd like to swim the 200 IM, which it's an individual medley, which means you swim 50 yards of every stroke. So freestyle, fly, breaststroke, and backstroke, okay? Not a lot of people can swim all of the strokes, let alone do it in one race. It's not an easy race to do for some people.
Sounds grueling.
This swimmer never swam before. This swimmer 3 years ago decided to come out for swimming. Could not swim. It has not been an easy stretch for him. He couldn't swim doggy paddle halfway down the pool when he first started. He had a lot of roads to get over to just be able to get up and down the pool. In 3 years, watching him transform himself to at least want to do this event has been really, really fun. So we said, you know what? Absolutely. We will let you do that. I think I couldn't think of a better way to end your career than being able to do this when you started 3 years ago, you couldn't even swim. So we go to Putnam County YMCA. The race goes off. I mean, fellas, this is what sports is about. It was like watching a movie.
Oh, wow.
He was not fast. He had a goal. He wanted to finish it in under 5 minutes. He just wanted to finish.
Nice.
The entire place is cheering. His entire team is down at the end of the line cheering him on. Other teams are down at the end of the lane cheering him on. There are people with tears in their eyes. I'm getting a little choked up telling you guys about this right now.
I see it.
It is what sports
is. What's his name?
His name is Matt Holdhouse. He is a great kid. He is a great kid. He finished it. And I tell you what, I've been very blessed to coach a lot of really great athletes. We've been to state championships, done a lot of great stuff. It is a top five proudest coaching moment of my career to watch that kid finish that. That's what sports is supposed to do. Really proud of that kid. Yeah. So wanted to make sure I gave a shout to him. That was by far my best thing of the week.
It was fun watching his eyes well up, wasn't it? When he told it.
That's passion.
Yeah, it is, man.
That's why he's the guy.
Congratulations to both of you guys. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Keep practicing swimming, too.
Eventually, I'll also be able to get there.
Doggy paddle. Start with the doggy paddle.
Guys, I got a couple things. The best thing I saw this week, we had Coach Sensabaugh from Spencerville on the radio today, and he talked about the win Saturday night. But I just thought it was amazing that, you know, they did lose that game Friday night. I think we talked about that last week, about that was going to be one of you guys said it was going to be a really tough game, you know, for them. And, to bounce back.
I was like, it was me. I did it.
Now, I will say this, that I did predict Spencerville would win this game. Now, this is the part of the show where Nick shows the video of me from last week. Go ahead and roll that, Nick.
Now, remember, it's at Delphi St. John's.
Yeah. I'm going to say because it's at Delphi St. John's, Spencerville gets the win. Because they go in. Look, it's enemy territory.
Wow.
They go in. I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. Those Sensabaugh boys play with a chip on their shoulder when the chips are down. You saw them. You guys saw them last year against OG at Lima Senior in the district finals.
Yes.
Holy moly. Yep. They were grown men.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because I'm spitting. My arms are flailing. I don't know what to do. Do you guys ever question my loyalty to WSN and basketball and football? Picking them to win. So,
followed by the clip of him going, Rushi will always beat St. John's.
No Rushi number one.
And Rushi is number one, and they got a huge win over Jackson Center. But what I'm talking about is the bounce back for Spencerville.
Yeah.
So you lose a league game that you probably shouldn't have, but that's a good Grove team. Okay. Yeah. And you talked about the atmosphere, but on paper, Spencerville probably should have won that game. Then you got to tell your kids that night, oh, by the way, we have to go to an undefeated Delta St. John's tomorrow night. We've not prepped for them. It's in the Vatican. They're undefeated. They've got the best player in the state of Ohio. And what do? They go in there and win that game. Unbelievable grit and determination by the Spencerville Bearcats.
Did you see the reverse layup at the end?
Yes, it was incredible.
By Owen Sensabaugh.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's
ridiculous.
And the other thing, too, and this is when you're getting choked up, this is what sports is about. So this week, I've got the Guardians Roundtable out at Westgate that we do every year. It is the anniversary. My dad was a huge Guardians fan, and it is the anniversary of my dad's passing. 8 years.
To the day. Wow.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy when you think about that
right,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. This is where we go to commercial. But it is, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And people don't, people who aren't sports nuts don't get why you get choked up, why I get choked up, why he cries daily. It just, it's weird, but it is sports, right?
Yeah. It is. Sports does something that you can't explain. And that's why you fall in love with it.
Right. You know? That's right. It's interview time, and we've got a couple of great local basketball players. Miles, I'm going to let you introduce our guest for tonight.
From Shawnee High School, the Brothers of Destruction, Trevick and Beckett Berkey.
They're going to have to take over the PA announcements when it's all. You're going to be doing starting lineups at Shawnee.
You should go out Saturday night. There's a big game. Guys, welcome to the show. We really appreciate it. Let's get right into it. What a great season you guys are having, and some big games this weekend. Talk about your season this far into the season.
So far, I mean, the tip-off started off with that. I mean, won the first game, started off slow the second game, didn't win that one, and then we kind of hit our stride a little bit and then played a good Delphus team, lost that, and then we're starting to hit our stride again.
Yeah. How about you?
Like he said, we lost tip off. We wanted to win that one and then hit our stride, played LCC again. That was a really fun game to beat them, and especially at home, and then played a good Delphus team, like you said, and unfortunately lost that one.
Well, so let me ask you guys this, right? Obviously, coming into the season, everybody's aware of the expectations that were put on you guys as a program. I know as a program, you guys knew the expectations that you guys had. Everybody saw what you guys had coming back, talent-wise. You guys moved up to be the favorites in the Western Buckeye League, a really difficult league. You know, they're talking about this team as a potential deep tournament run. You guys made it to regionals last year. A lot of people think you guys have the talent to go even farther. Expectations are great, but you got to be able to deliver, right? You have to put the work in. You have to be in the gym. The team has to still go out there and execute. How are you guys managing those expectations by still continuing to try to grow and be better week to week?
Well, right now we're just trying to block it out right now, focus on ourselves and not let anyone like determine our season and try to push us farther than they like for how much they expect, but really just taking it day by day.
Yeah, Coach Triple always tells us four games that hears all the hype about us, but like, he just wants to see it, and he's tired of everyone telling us how good we are. He wants to show it.
All right, that's good that you guys are managing outsiders' expectations, but what are some of the expectations that you guys have for this team?
Some of the expectations we have is, give it all that we got. I mean, I think we play really hard. We're a great team, unselfish, and we play Shawnee basketball.
Yeah, we always pride ourselves on being very unselfish, and we have a lot of goals in our on our team, and one of them is win the Western Buckeye League and go undefeated at home and make a deep tournament run, obviously.
Well, I think we'll get back to that undefeated at home thing a little bit, right? You got a big one coming up, but I want to talk to you guys about that Defiance matchup, because you had a couple really rough losses, and then this was going to be a loss. I mean, you guys, a miracle comeback against Defiance. How big was that win for you guys, where it looked like this one was definitely going to be in the loss column?
Well, as our coach Shipley said right after the game, he said, we should not have won that game. There's no way we should have won that game. And I think it just showed us how much grit we have and how much, like, how hardworking we are and how much we're able to, how much effort we put into the game, and that we're a great team.
Guys, when I coached, we would work Monday through Thursday on the conference game. Okay, and then Friday night was the conference game. And then whatever you did on Saturday morning walkthrough was for Saturday night. Look, the elephant in the room, we're not going to try to avoid this. That is a big game Saturday night.
It is.
Everybody in Lima Land's talking about it. It's a sellout. How do you focus on that Western Buckeye League game Friday night, knowing what's ahead of you Saturday?
Yeah, we know one of our biggest goals is obviously to win the Western Buckeye League, and we know going at St. Mary's, like, it's always hard to play on the road, and we really need to win that game before we can look forward to Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to take it one day at a time and not focus too much, because we saw what happened with Spencerville, and they probably seemed to look down the road a little bit. And we've always preached WBL comes first, and we want to win the WBL. That's one of our biggest goals as a team.
Okay, how big is that game Saturday night?
it's a big game. It's a big game.
Are you guys excited for that?
It's going to be a fun game to play, fun game to look back at.
Yeah. You know, these are great answers.
Well, you talk about, you know, obviously, you guys, the goals that you guys have, and winning the Western Buckeye League being the first goal that you guys have in mind, and, you know, a couple more wins, and that's going to be secured for you guys, and you win that goal. But Saturday night can be a really big test for you guys and kind of that measuring stick for where you're at heading into tournament play. Tournament is not an easy. You guys are going to play some really difficult teams, especially if you keep winning and moving on into the regionals and beyond. And Saturday night's a really good opportunity for you guys as a team to kind of see where you're at as far as being able to play those next level teams that maybe you'll see in the tournament, right?
Yeah, my dad calls it, he's said it a couple times this season, he calls it a fertilizer game. We're going to grow from the outcome. Oh, no matter what the outcome is, we're going to grow from it. It's going to tell us a lot about our team.
As long as you don't smell like fertilizer, right?
Yeah,
that would be bad. Out there smelling like that.
You know, Beckett, for you, obviously, this is your number three, and you came in day one, minute one, second one, been playing varsity, got a lot of time out on the court. And if there wasn't a guy by the name of Colin White, there's a real good chance that you've got one or two Western Buckeye League Player of the Year awards already. Mm-hmm. Coming in, so you've always been the focal point. And then coming into this year, obviously, we already talked about those expectations as a team, but that puts an even brighter light on you individually. How has that been for you trying to manage, knowing that teams are going to be trying to, you know, design their defenses to shut you down? And somehow, you still manage to find a way to be productive game in and game out.
I mean, I got some great players around me who all can do some great things on the court, my brother including sometimes. he takes a lot of weight off my shoulders, same with Jagger, Tate, Matt, DeMola, everyone can take. I mean, they help me out a lot, and they free me up on the offensive side a lot.
You know, and then for you, Trevick, you know, obviously, you coming in a year later, you did the same thing. Came in game one, second one, you're a starter on that varsity team. What was it like kind of stepping into that, knowing that your brother's already had a lot of success, and you obviously want to create your own path, replicate your own success? What's it been like kind of being the little brother, but wanting to also show that, hey, this team has to go when I go too?
Yeah, it helped me a lot when I saw what he was doing his freshman year, and it made me think that I can do that too. And then obviously started off slow my freshman year, and I think ever since that I've just grown.
Guys, I've had you twice, and it looks like your team chemistry is pretty good, right? Is this a group that gets along real well, that likes to play for each other?
Oh yeah, we're always joking in the locker room, having fun. I mean, we're hanging outside of practice together, and it's just a great group to be around.
I'm glad you said that, because I have some questions, and you can only give one answer for each question, okay? All right. Who's the best defender on the team?
I'd say probably me or Tate.
Okay.
Or maybe DeMola.
DeMola,
too.
Okay, that's pretty good. Who's got the best sneaker game on the team?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a toss-up.
Okay, give me a couple.
I'd say myself.
Really?
All right. He likes to think that.
What's your favorite pair of sneakers on?
Probably the Kobe 8 red ones that I have right now.
Those are nice.
Is Coach, your dad, is he rocking the New Balance yet?
No, he's on the Hokas right now. yeah, he's on the Hokas. Yeah.
Don't go Skechers, Coach. Don't do it. Who's got the best hops? Now, I say Ojo, because I saw his dunk against DSJ. That was amazing, right? Who's got the best hops?
I think it's me, because I think DeMola, he's a better 1 foot jumper than me, but 2 foot.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm a way better 2 foot.
I like
than
the
him.
Confidence. Yeah. Best shooter on the team?
I'd probably say Jagger.
Jagger from the corner, right?
Yeah. When Jagger gets hot, it's.
Oh, yeah. When that Bath game, 4-4 in the first quarter.
All right. Now, who's got the most Riz?
Most of Riz?
Yeah, who's got it?
I think He's actually a JV guy, Luke McGuire.
Really?
Yeah, Luke McGuire. Yeah, Luke McGuire. Yeah, I would probably say.
You gotta move him up to varsity. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Guys, I've had you guys several times this year, and I keep saying that I think one of the underrated parts of your game is your transition offense, really getting down the floor. You guys look like you have fun when you get down the floor and the ball's moving, and you guys are attacking the rim. Saturday night going to be a showcase of two teams that can really get up and down the floor. What's the key to controlling their moving the ball down the floor?
I'd say probably we got to stop ball in transition, and we got to not let up easy ones, because it's going to be a really fast-paced game, and we don't want it to turn into a game in the high 80s. If it's a game in the high 80s, Lima Senior is going to win that game. If it's 60s, then that's going to lean towards our way more.
Yeah, you like to get out and run. I saw the other night, boy, you guys both just get to the rim so easy, and you're effortless because of your length. And I talk about you guys defensively all the time, but offensively, you guys take great pride in being able to get to the rim, right?
Yeah, our sets help us out a lot with us being able to get to the rim with great plays, and that's just us making plays then.
Well, it's time for me to ask the question. I ask the question every time we have guests on here, and I want to ask you two. Now, remember, there are millions of people watching this show, including other teams
dozens.
From around. Yeah, dozens. And I want different answers for both of you. What's the one team you like to beat the most?
Oh, I like to beat the most. I'd probably say the time we beat St. John's.
St. John's,
I'd give it to them. They beat me a lot of times when I was in elementary school to middle school, so it felt good to beat them.
That was St. John's.
Right? I would say Elida, just because it's a big rivalry. It's usually a good game.
It makes you feel any better. Elida says Shawnee. So,
I did say that, too.
You know, guys, before we get you out of here, you know, I do want to ask you, obviously, being able to play with your brother, having your dad's here tonight with you guys, he's on the bench with you, you know, obviously through and through a basketball family. What has it been like growing up in this sport with family, now getting a chance to play high-level varsity basketball? You know, at some point, this will end, and you guys will go your separate ways, and, you know, I think both of you are set up nicely. If you want to play basketball at the next level, you'll have that opportunity, but that'll probably be the first time in a long time that you guys haven't been playing together on the same floor. So what has this been like? Like, you know, growing up, playing basketball with one another, having your dad along with you guys, being able to coach you. What's that been like for you guys and for your family?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And we're very fortunate to be able to play together with each other at such a high level. And I'm very grateful. There's no other person I'd rather play basketball with than my brother, probably.
Yeah, we were just talking about on the way here. I think we've been playing since we're like first grade or something. He's been coaching us ever since.
Does dad ever say, back in my day at Marion Local, was he ever
there? A lot.
What's he say? He's right over there.
Just how he used to dominate back then.
How no one could guard him.
Can dad still shoot?
If he gets his arms loose enough sometimes.
You guys know the game Chicago 21?
Yeah.
I play him all the time in that. And if you ask him, he'll say he wins, but I win all the time.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to do after high school? I know, you know, we talk about your dad, and he played college basketball. Are you guys interested in playing college basketball? I mean, I think you're more than capable of doing that.
Yeah, it's one of my biggest goals, is playing college basketball anywhere. Just doesn't matter what level, just as long as I'm playing.
See, I love that.
Yeah, it's a good.
We have so many kids that, you know, that say, "Well, I'm D1 or I'm D2 or no, you're D3 or you're NIA, but you just want to play basketball." Yeah. How about you?
Like he said, wherever whoever wants me, wherever I can play.
Yeah. You guys getting any recruiting looks yet? I know you're still young, obviously sophomores and juniors, but you guys had the colleges come in and talking yet?
Yeah, we've went on a visit for a D2, and a couple like other D2s around the area have talked to us a little bit.
Nice.
Well, guys, thank you so much. It was great meeting both of you, and best of luck in the season. Best of luck with your WBL game Friday night, I'll be there Saturday night. So these guys will be trying to get into the gym. But
Danny said it wasn't sold out till they announced that he was going to be there.
That's right. Come over and say hi to me. So best
good
of luck, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck,
guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, let's get right to it. Let's preview some great, great matchups this week on WOSN. This first one, guys, this girls' game Thursday night, number 7, St. Henry, number 4, Marion Local, Jeff Overholzer, Ben Slayton on the call. Guys, this is a Marion Local team that's 16-1, 6-0. Hard to believe a Marion Local team is that good.
Do they have to be good at everything?
Their only loss this year was to Anna.
Their chess team is underrated.
Their only loss this year was to Anna. They take on St. Henry, who's 14-3, 7-0 in the league. Their only loss is to Marion Local, 51-42, back on December 27. Guys, this is a dandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, go ahead, Nate.
No, I was just going to say, you said that they had a loss to Marion Local, but that was in a tournament, so it wasn't a conference. So they're both undefeated in conference play still. I mean, this is the MAC championship right here. This is a huge matchup between two teams that just are – I mean, this is – if there wasn't 15 other amazing, incredible matchups, this would be the marquee matchup of the week.
Yeah, if they're going to get the victory, St. Henry, they're going to have to do a much better job of taking care of the basketball this time around. Way too many turnovers the first time that they played, but that's a tough ask because Chloe Runnenbaum for Marion Local last weekend, 9 steals in a game. When was the last time you heard of anybody getting 9 steals in a week, let alone a game, right?
Yeah.
So this is a Marion Local team. Not only do they rebound the basketball extremely well, but they will get very active with their hands. St. Henry's got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, well, it's also a very balanced scoring team. They have 3 girls that average just at 11 or just over 11. Ava Unrath, Maya Eckstein, and Chloe Rodenball all over 11 points a game. When you have 3 players that have that balanced scoring – you got to pick your poison because, like, you know, it's hard enough when you go in and say, hey, we have to shut this person down and have somebody else, you know, try to beat us. But when you got 3 girls that you know can go and get things done offensively for you, that is a really, really hard thing to try to defend. And St. Henry is really going to have their work cut out for them.
Not only that, it's a rivalry in the MAC. These two schools play every year.
I always love this, right? Yeah. Every game's a rivalry in the MAC.
I know, right? But it's so much bigger. It just means more.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
If it's a 45-point-plus game, Marion Local wins.
Yeah, I agree. Guys, game 2 is Friday night. Ottawa Glendorf at Van Wert. Randy Roberts, our own Miles Holiday on the call. Guys, this is one of those games where, and Miles and you and Nate and I talk about all the time, when we see up-and-coming players, we get super excited. Well, guess what? Van Wert's loaded with up-and-comers.
They are.
They've got freshmen and sophomore. I'm just saying, in the next couple years, Cougar Town's going to be so much fun. And look, Ottawa Glendorf's playing better. They go over to Berlin Highland this weekend, and they really stayed with maybe the best team in the state in that division, Berlin Highland.
Yeah, they've won 4 of 6, and I want to touch real quick on their win over Bath on Friday because that was kind of an eye-opener, right? We thought that would be a really close ball game, and they wound up blowing out Bath in that second half. Why? Well, you talk to Grady Tomazos, the big Tomazos. He says, well, we got back to playing pressure defense. They caused 20 turnovers against Bath, and those you always know when turnovers happen, a lot of times you get easy baskets out of them. You're right, Danny, though. I really like this Van Wert basketball team. Zach Crummy, the freshman, is going to be a stud. And I look at a fun matchup with Brody Fortman for OG, maybe guarding Zach Crummy. That would be a lot of fun. Those two guys are tremendous athletes.
The Welch kid, who's really good. He's a sophomore, and he started from day one last year.
Yeah. So Welch is sophomore, and then a freshman guard, Xavier Kelly. Are they going to be able to handle the pressure that OG throws at them? I think that's a big key.
Well, and I think, you know, you guys talked about that youth of Van Wert. I think it's been their biggest positive, but it's also been their biggest issue, right? When you have that much youth, you're going to have some consistency issues. And at the end of the day, young players are going to make young player mistakes.
You can't get
around it. It's just a part of maturing and growing up as you play. And I think that has what has bitten Van Wert from time to time. But people need to, I think, pay more attention to what happened this weekend than maybe they will at first glance. Yeah, Ottawa Glendorf went 1-1.
Yeah.
But they doubled up a good Bath team.
Yeah, they did.
That was a surprise. They then go and play Berlin Highland, and they only lose by 4 points, and they shut them down offensively. I mean, that was a game in the 40s that nobody expected to see.
Guys, I saw that Berlin Highland team play last year. They brought everybody back. They are absolutely loaded. I'm telling you, they're
going to
be in Dayton. Yeah.
You know, for a lot of the season, the talk around this OG team is oh, they're done, right? Like, this isn't your dad's OG team. This is a different squad.
Too much pride in that
community. Nobody's stepping up. They don't know how to replace them. You know, there's some people talking about all sorts of stuff coming out of OG, right?
Right.
anybody who thought that OG was just going to roll over it and take the season as a wash hasn't been paying attention for the last 20 years to what goes on inside that program. And I really do think that this last weekend has a chance to be a catalyst to really push them. And don't be surprised now if we start seeing OG go on a run. I think that you get another idea this weekend against a Van Wert team that has some really good players. But if their defense is back to where we've seen it, what did I say? You guys looked at each other. I thought maybe I said something wrong. So, you know, but if they can go and they can, like you said, put pressure on those Van Wert players, right, and cause turnovers, that defense can get back to what you're used to seeing out of Ottawa Glandorf. All of a sudden, this is an OG team that no longer you look at your schedule and go, oh, good, this is the year we get them.
You remember how Danny has his list of man crush players, right?
Oh, 100%. One of the guys
it's on the refrigerator.
Yeah.
One of the guys you brought up earlier in the year was Jordan Schumacher for OG.
Freshman sensation.
Right. Kids Four so steals against Bath on Friday night and 12 points. Coach McLaughlin said he's just really raw. But if you're just really raw and you're scoring 12 points and getting four steals, he's going to be something fun to watch next year.
We both talked off air a while back about the Fortman kid, the sophomore. I think he's a really nice player. Yeah, they've got some pieces to build around.
He doesn't shoot enough. Yeah. Shoot the ball more, Brody.
Call Tyson. See what he's Guys, game three is a dandy. Friday night, Bluffton is at Spencerville. Evan Skilleter, Josiah Stober on the call for this one. Bluffton is 2-2 in their last four games. Guys, I had the privilege of calling this one last year. It was an overtime thriller.
I remember the call. Yes. Do you remember that? Yeah.
It was at Bluffton. Spencerville with the putback shot. I went nuts. I went crazy.
No, not you.
All cool and collected.
No way.
Spencerville coming off a huge win over Devil St. John's. But they were upset by Columbus Grove. Guys, could this be a game that Spencerville's overlooking? This is a really good Bluffton team.
Well, I don't think that Spencerville will make the mistake again overlooking a team. Because I do think that maybe there was a little bit of, hey, what's next instead of what's right in front of us this past weekend when it comes to Spencerville. But listen, if you're Bluffton, this is a must-win game. You're sitting there with two conference losses. You're staring up at Columbus Grove, Crestview, and Spencerville at the top of the league. You have to have this game. There is a ton of pressure on them. You have to go to Spencerville. Never an easy place to play. You know, Merrick Donaldson doing a nice job. I think Bluffton had a nice bounce back weekend. They won big over Lincoln View and Pandora Gilboa. They're able to spread some of that scoring around, maybe get some of their confidence back, because going into that stretch, right, where they got beat by LCC and, you know, we saw some of the tough games that they lost, they weren't playing great basketball. They get a confidence building weekend this past weekend. They're going to come into this game feeling a lot better about where they are. But they're going to have to get in there and they're going to have to study that tape and they're going to have to really be ready to go. But this is a really talented team.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, 3 weeks ago before Bluffton hit a little skid, if you're looking ahead of the schedule, you're like, ooh, this might be the game that challenges Spencerville.
Look at the games they've lost. They've lost to Liberty Benton, LCC, Arlington. Yeah. I mean,
Largest margin was 5 points.
They took Liberty Bend to overtime, and LB's really good.
Yeah, I had Bluffton on Saturday night at Pandora Gilboa with Randy Roberts on the call. Todd Boblett, very underrated as a basketball coach. Does a really good job. Look, if they are able to win this game against Spencerville, the matchups are going to be the key, right? Well, number one, the matchup of Todd Boblett versus Kevin Sensabaugh. He used about six different defenses against Pandora Gilboa. Now, if you do that and you change things up, that fast octane up and down tempo, now it's slowed down, because what's a point guard like Will Sensabaugh have to do? He's got to figure out what defense you're in, right? If you want to play man, I like this, because Bean is a tremendous on-ball defender. By far the toughest working defender I've seen this year on the ball. Him against Will Spencerball in one-on-one would be fun. Another great matchup, Blake Summers, the big 6'5" guy that can step out and bury a three. Are you kidding me? The lefty is something else against Carter Orr. Taron Boblett, the big three guy for Bluffton. Can he get a free look against a great defense for Spencerville? This is going to be a really fun game. All kinds of great matchups.
Yeah, don't forget,
Summers' boys are former Bearcats who played at Spencerville one time. Right. So there's a lot of intrigue in this game.
A little drama for you.
Guys, game four, Friday night. The Kenton Wildcats visit Wapakoneta. Mark Shine, Scott Magg on the call. Dare I say Kenton needs a win, fellas. They've lost 13 in a row after opening up the year with a win. Yeah. Wapakoneta, 3-2 in their last five, but big wins over Jackson Center and St. Henry.
Yeah, Aaron Sadler got 10 points for the Wapakoneta. We know Moyer can score. He had 15. Richardson, though, we've yet to see him in double digits since he's come back from being sick
some
or
illness,
something was going on. So hopefully he gets back to the form he had before being sick. Look, Kenton, struggling, man. 13 in a row. If they are going to pull off an upset, which it would be, Blaine Bushong, who averages around 10 points, I mean, he's going to have one of those 20 to 30 point nights.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen both of these teams recently. You know, for Kenton, when I saw them, they were playing against Shawnee, and it's a tough draw for anybody. We already talked about how good that Shawnee team is. You know, but Kenton, they drove the ball well. They are actually able to get into the lane against Shawnee. They just couldn't finish. A lot of it was just kind of a lot of throwing up, a lot of floaters to try to get over that length. Wapakoneta, not that long of a team. There's not a ton of size there.
No, you're right.
So if they're able to drive and get some success going towards the basket, they'll keep them in this one. I did see Richardson. He looked pretty good on Saturday night against St. Henry. He was moving well.
Good.
He looked fine. Not a lot of scoring, obviously, but, you know, there wasn't anything when you watched him that was like, oh, you know, he's being hindered by something. Moyer looked great. The biggest issue I saw with Walpock was they just got tired, and they got late into that one against St. Henry, and they started off really fast. They were moving the ball. The motion looked great. Everybody's moving extra passes. It was creating a lot of openings. And then that really slowed down. Their half-court sets got very sloppy late in the game, a lot of standing around watching. So as long as they keep that up-tempo up and they can keep Kenton kind of on their heels and forcing up bad shots, I think they'll be okay.
Guys, game five, Friday night, an NWCC matchup. Harden Northern at Ridgemont, Lynn Passett and Andrew Collinsworth on the call for this one. Guys, this is a rivalry game, but listen to this. Ridgemont is 13-3, 6-0 in the league.
Right.
I looked at their schedule. They're going to be favored in every game. They're going to finish the season, if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, they may finish 19-3 for a Ridgemont team that took their football team to the playoffs. Everything's going right in Gopherland. This is a big game for them.
Danny, I know you've seen them in person. Yeah. When you look at their roster, are those numbers correct? They're huge.
They're very good. They're very big. They've got shooters. They've got inside guys. This is a team that can really score. I'm really impressed with this team.
To me, so I saw them the very first game of the season against Allen East, and to me the thing that was the most impressive was their ability to run.
Yeah.
I mean, they push the tempo. They get out. They like to run. They pull their ball out front. Their transition game is really good. For a team that has the size they do, they move.
They got down in that game to Allen East big time, didn't they? Came back and won that game.
So, I mean, it's a good Ridgemont team. They've only improved. They have a lot of good things going for them. Obviously, a great record. You know, this is a Gopher team.
Not a fluke, right?
This is a Gopher team that, you know, I'll tell you what, come tournament time could really surprise some people.
Well, Harden Northern, though, 5-11 overall, but you look at their last five. Boy, tough, right?
Yeah,
a lot of tough losses, none of them by more than 5 points. But Xander Wilson, a really nice ball player for them, 15-6 a game. He's going to have a big night against Ridgemont.
Yeah. Ridgemont can go 7-0 with them winning here in the league and be clearly in first place with everything in
almost
front of
clinch
them.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Guys, game six. Oh, it's a pretty big game Saturday night. The Lima Senior Spartans against the Shawnee Indians. Myself and Darren Nevergall on the call. Guys, Lima Senior comes into this one 12-1, probably 14-1 by the time this airs, right? Or by the time the game starts, because they've got three games. But that is what I want to say to you guys, is they've got three games this week. Is that going to be a problem come Saturday night? Now, I know they love to get out and run, and they're very good athletes, and they're 16, 17-year-old kids. But you're coming into Shawnee. You're going to have to face some length, a smaller court. There's all kinds of drama in this game.
Nate, you're tired if you play a full game. I mean, how many times has a senior play a full game?
This is what I'll tell you. And, you know, obviously, I'm a little bit closer. I'm close to both of these programs. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this one. So, you know, Danny, when we get done, I'm going to talk with Nick. If you don't want to do this game.
It's the Miss America runner-up game, right?
If you can, I'm more than happy.
Dara's going to make it?
Like, if you want to call or text him and, like, just try to get me in instead of you, I'll gladly take that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that Lima Senior was built for this stuff. And if anybody doubts that, take a look at what they did last weekend when they went up to Michigan. Yeah. They played in a 4-overtime game where they only got stronger the later that game went on. One of the things that Coach Simpson does is these guys are conditioning year round. They are out on the track, you know, in the spring, even after basketball season is over. I'll be out on the football field during lacrosse practice. They're up in the stands running stairs already. They're out on the track, you know, doing plyometric workouts. They never stop working on their cardio because he knows how important it is to the game style that he wants to play, that they are the best conditioned team on the floor every single night. They may lose games, but I guarantee you that there will never be a team on the court with them that is in better condition than they are. So they are built. So 3 games and 4 nights, the back end of their schedule, they play like 5 and 6 days to finish the season. He does these things for a reason because he knows his team can handle them, and they got to be able to play a lot of games quickly.
Miles, yeah. Sean Foster, Willie Foster.
Ooh, is there the a better brothers?
Is there a better guard combination in Northwest Ohio?
Oh boy, we've had this debate. Yeah. Oh man! Now well, when it comes say. To Duncan, I'm going with the Fosters, baby. They got lifts in those shoes. Look, to me, Coach Triplett. All right, I'm a very smart man. Listen to me on a couple things here. All right. Zone. Go zone. Run a zone. Change to another zone, and then don't dribble. Don't dribble against Senior. Pass the ball left and right. Because when you dribble against Senior, guess what happens? It goes the other way for a layup or a dunk, right? Keep the ball off the floor. Pass that ball extremely well. Like, I really love Senior, right? And we talked to Trevick, and we know that he's a great point guard. He can dribble the basketball really well. But I really like Boog Wilson, too, right? You've watched that guy defend. He can defend absolutely anybody. When he's on the ball defending, oh, watch out.
Well, what about the matchup between Trevick or Beckett and the D1 commit from Lima Senior, Jaquel Cotton, who's no slouch? There's so many pieces to this game.
Or do you
game.
Put Ojo on Cotton?
Huh? Right? Yeah, right. So
the one advantage that Shawnee is going to have over Lima Senior is their length. And it has been the thing that they pretty much had on every single team. Lima Senior is going to run a smaller lineup because they have those guard plays. They're so fast. They love that transition. Their height comes from Jaquel Cotton. Well, the height for Shawnee comes from 4 different guys. So you're going to have mismatches if you can get things in the half court. Getting them in the half court is going to be the problem. You say, hey, Coach Triplett, go play that zone. Yep. That's easier said than done because in order to get down into your zone defense, you got to have made baskets and you have to get back down and beat Lima Senior down to the other end of the floor. That's not easy to do. Now, the one benefit that Shawnee has, this one's at home, a little bit smaller of a court, right? Not quite as much space that you have to cover. Could that help them? Obviously, but Shawnee is going to have to find a way to take advantage of their length to find a way to slow Lima Senior down, which is a much easier thing said than done.
If I'm Coach Triplett, this is what I'm telling my guys, and I'm not Coach Triplett. He knows a lot more than I do, but I'm telling my guys, we are taking high percentage shots because the first thing we do is miss a shot. Those guys are out and running.
Yeah, you can't.
We're going to go a little high-low. I'm going to put my 2 bigs on the block. I'm going to put Jagger in the middle of the floor. We're going to do some high-low. We're going to dump the ball down. Take high percentage shots. Slow the game down.
I agree with you, but
I know it's easier said than done.
Look, and we all look at that lineup for Senior and like, oh, they're not really big. It doesn't matter. When they jump, they're really big.
That's true. That's true. Here's the thing. If Shawnee does not win the offensive rebound battle,
it's gonna be long
they
night.
Are not going to win this game.
I agree.
They cannot be one and done. Unless the shot's going in the basket, they cannot be one and done on offense. They have got to get themselves offensive rebounds. They have to use that length to give themselves second and third opportunities. If not, it's going to be a long night for the Indians, which is hard to say because this Shawnee team is really, really good. And, you know, this is a team that I think and we talked about this a little bit off air, but if you're the Indians and you're an Indian fan and you're an Indian player and coaching staff, if you really do think that you have a team that is capable of playing in the state tournament, this is a game that you have to either be able to win or at least be in.
Very competitive.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think the split on the fans will be? You know, it's sold out. Is it going to be 70%?
It depends on how many. It kind of depends on how many tickets Shawnee sent over. I don't know how that breakdown is.
What's your guess? Because, you know, some of these tickets might get resold.
Oh, yeah, because there's going to be an aftermarket.
Oh, yeah. This is such not a wrong. Big game.
Yeah. I'll say 65-35 Shawnee.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably reasonable to think. I think if you're home, any gym, if you're the home team, you're going to give your fans the bigger allotment of tickets. Well, I don't know. I mean, you're
but
going
you're right.
To.
You could play this at Kinghorn today and sell it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what a matchup that's going to be.
Who's going to win?
Ooh.
Who's your pick?
You got Spencerville last week.
I did.
I mean, come on, Nostradamus.
I'm going to take Shawnee in an upset.
Shawnee in an upset.
Mm-hmm. I like their length. Final I like score? Their size. It's going to have to be in the 50s. Okay. I'm going to say 55, 53. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that Shawnee controls the tempo. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. If it's a close game, Shawnee can win. Shawnee wins. It's not going to be a close game. Senior wins by 15.
All right.
Ooh, okay.
I think so. Their quickness and length. They just bring wave after wave on it. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. All right. All right. Game number 7.
Wayne Trace at Collider. We have Randy Roberts and Scott Maddie on the call. This Wayne Trace team.
I tell you what, you are not gonna come up against a stronger 3-point shooting team than this Wayne Trace team. Kaleida playing very great defense.
They
got a very, very strong defensive team in Kaleida. I'll tell you what, this is a good sneaky matchup right now, right?
Kaleida stands for Lima Senior. Just so our listeners know, this guy's got his feet in the pool at both schools.
I sure do.
Shawnee, Lima Senior. So we're going to give you a break, Nate. We'll give you a break.
So game number 7, Saturday.
Wayne Trace and Kaleida, Randy Roberts, Scott Magg. Guys, Wayne Trace 9-7, 3-1. They've lost 2 in a row. Last couple nights out, they got beat by a really good Miller City team in Tenora. Kaleida, they won 4 out of 5. They're 10-7, 4-0 in the PCL.
That's a Tenora team that's only lost twice this year and is winning the GMC. Mm-hmm. So those were two tough losses last week for Wayne Trace. To me, Wayne Trace, if Caden Sin can get going again from behind the arc, they're going to stay in this basketball game. This is not the Wayne Trace team that's going to get 60, 70 points, 40, 45, right? But keep in mind, it's a team that is starting all 5 underclassmen. So this whole team will be back next year. They're going to do nothing but get better. Carter Clemens, keep an eye on him. He's a fantastic guy inside at 6'3", rebounds, never gets tired. But Kaleida, Bubba Smith does a great job running the point for them. Sibanek is a double-digit scorer. Schroeder is a double-digit scorer. I like Kaleida because they have more guys that are consistent right now than Wayne Trace does.
Yeah, so a couple of things for this one for me. You know, regardless of whether or not Wayne Trace is down this year, nobody ever looks at Wayne Trace on their schedule and goes, oh, we're really looking forward to playing that game. It is always a tough game. They're always a danger to beat you. Sure. They're extremely well coached. They have good athletes. You know, this is all. They're always going to play you hard. For Kaleida, I think Kaleida's really snuck up on people this year.
This is
a team that I don't think a lot of people were looking at to make any sort of noise. They're winning games in the 30s, which has kind of been, you know, their calling card over the last.
They're winning games.
Yeah. That defense is tenacious. They don't have to score a lot of points because of how they play. But that might be a difficult task against a Wayne Trace team that does like to shoot the ball. If they start going and they start getting hot, you've got to be able to score. Can Kaleida find the offense to stay with them if Wayne Trace can find that opening? And finally, is Randy going to be able to find Wayne Trace without you? It was one of the rare Randy Roberts without Miles Holiday matchups. Is everything okay? Are you guys in a little bit of a spiff here? Like, are we all right?
All right, so now listen. Last Saturday, I had the radio show. I drove up to Albion, made it 20 minutes before tip-off, a 3 o'clock tip-off, right?
Okay.
Finished that one, drove all the way down to Pandora Gilboa. 5 minutes on the pregame clock, I make it right before tip to do that game. Well, Albion moved their start to 3:30 this week, and there's no way I'd be able to make it now.
Well, so, at least we've got a new name for Scott Magg, home wrecker.
They're really splitting up.
Randy and I are fine.
Yeah,
you
were fine.
Good.
Should we worry? Yeah. Everything's good.
Real quick, though, before we move on from that one, we talked about Shawnee quite a bit in this show. Wayne Trace and Shawnee play later this year.
They do. Yep.
We had that game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. All right, guys. Game 8, Saturday night, Allen East at Kenton. Mark Schein, Josiah Stober. Allen East 8-8, 1-3. Guys, we saw Allen East. You and I saw Allen East earlier this year.
Against
they
Elida.
Were so good against Elida, knocking down shots. Their bigs played well. They've really struggled. Now, they're at 500, and they're still a solid team, but you got to wonder when they're going to start knocking down some more shots.
2-6 in their last eight, though.
Yeah.
They're in a tough stretch right now. I saw them Friday night against LCC. Neither team looked really great. LCC ended up coming away with that victory. I think Coach Belcher is going through some of those first-year coach blues right now. Yeah. I mean, you're in a stretch. You've come in. You get that kind of that excitement, right, from the start has kind of worn off a little bit, and they're just kind of struggling right now with a few things. Defensively, it doesn't always look the sharpest. They rely too much on shooting threes without really running the offense.
Right.
But they look really good in stretches. I mean, I really like some of the players on that roster. They like to get after it. They can get up and down the floor pretty quickly. They have a good core there. And, against a Kenton team that is struggling, I think this is one of those get-right spots for the Mustangs.
Danny and I, when we had them against Elida, we were really impressed with Deacon Jones. How'd he look?
It looked good.
Yep. And then remember the big sophomore that came in, Hunter Williams?
Yes. Yep. Hunter Williams played a lot. He's a nice presence for them. He shot a couple of threes for him. But that's what, sometimes they're just relying too much on that outside shot. Hunter Williams should never touch the ball, in the flow of that offense behind that arc and be like, oh, I'll just shoot it here. He's too strong. He's too big. I mean, he is a presence on the inside. Yeah. Get him the ball on the inside and, go to work.
Guys, we've talked about a lot of great games, boys and girls. Now let's discuss possible awards at the end of the season. And I know we're not going to narrow this down to just one person tonight because we've got so much season left, but let's talk about the girls player of the year.
It's kind of nice just to put names out there, right? We're gonna have to figure out somehow this way at the end of the year to figure out one person or maybe a coach.
It's going to be so difficult for us to do
this. You look at the girls, guys, and I'll just start throwing some names out. You guys tell me what you think. On my list, I've got Carson Erford from Ottawa Glendore, Lauren Ockmuti from Columbus Grove, and Rylan Jones from Allen East. I think for those three, and I know we got others, but for me, those three have really stood out.
Those were the exact same three I had.
I have Caitlin Komet also
from
OG. Right? I mean, that OG team's so talented, right?
Yeah.
But Lauren Ockmuti, you could argue, most decorated player in the area, right? I mean, it seems like every single week she's setting a new record for something. And, she's the one that kind of like leads it. There's so many good young ladies that play basketball, but it seemed like her name is always mentioned every single week.
Yeah, for me, though, the difference between those two is Carson Erford has the win over Lauren.
Absolutely.
I had in the same order, though. For me, it's Erford, Ockmuti, and then Rylan Jones as well. Rylan Jones is setting a lot of records over in Allen East, so really good player in her own right.
Did you switch sides with Miles? But you agree with me on something.
We'll get back to it in a minute. But Carson Erford
has that win.
Allen East. But Carson Erford too. I do think that Carson Erford gets lost in the conversation a lot of times with the best player in the area because maybe she's not as flashy. She's very quiet about how she goes about her thing, play. But when you watch her game, it is clear to see that she is the best player on the floor 9 out of 10 times on both sides of the ball, and I think that's what is the most impressive when you watch her play.
Yeah. I'm going to throw some boys' names out there and good luck trying to figure this out.
Cam Elwer?
Weird, huh?
Okay, so
every guard that plays in Northwest Ohio?
Every guard we've talked about tonight. Okay, Sean Foster, Cam Elwer, Jordan Pretty, the Sensabaugh brothers, Berkey brothers. Okay, I'm not even going to be close to picking a player of the year. Now, I'm just going to say this.
I don't know how we're going to do it.
I just want to say this. I think Cam Elwer is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
But just pure basketball skill for me, I think there's one player on that list that I think is the best, and that's Sean Foster. I just think, just pure basketball
ability. He's
ridiculously
good.
Yes. Yeah. But you can make a case for each of these guys.
Mm-hmm. You can. I mean, it is going to be, when we start narrowing this down and we actually have to start making some decisions, the the margins are going to be razor thin when it's all said. Because I also think, you know, you're talking about a player in Jordan Pretty who can go out there and score with anybody at any point. His shot is so smooth. But again, he's very quiet about what he does. It's kind of understated. So his biggest issue is there are some games where you can kind of see him go away.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of keeps him from being up towards that top. Sean Foster, tremendous player, only a sophomore. I mean, we are going to see so many incredible things out of Sean before it's all said and done. You know, we talk about the backcourts over in Spencerville, over in Adelphi St. John's. There are so many good players. We haven't even touched anybody down in Marion Local. We haven't touched anybody down in Coldwater, Minster.
Just great players.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Let me submit a couple to you, though. Ren Sheets.
Yep, there's another one.
Crestview, fantastic. Player of the year last year.
And I would on another team other than senior, Jaquel Cotton's getting 35%
game, the Division One kid.
Yeah, 100%.
He doesn't need a ton of shots. He's a very unselfish player. I love watching him play, but he never gets the basketball sometimes because it then breaks half court. The defense steals it and they dunk, So he is a wonderful player. And then a guy up in Defiance, Khalil Lignon, is an unbelievable player. Had 31 on Saturday. He is as good as anybody in the area.
Guys, let me throw some names out there for defense. It is not the glamour that we, you know, as all of us coached before, we know how important defense is. But you want to talk about kids that get after it. You said it earlier. Bean Gunther is so good on the ball. The Berkey brothers on the ball. And there's a couple of guards out of Elida that can really get after you on the defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amari Wash. Good luck picking this one, guys.
Yeah, Wash is unbelievable on it, but Boog Wilson is the best on-ball defender I've seen so far this year. I mean, you just cannot dribble.
You mean the All-State football player?
Yeah.
You just cannot dribble. I mean, you put it on the floor, he's knocking it loose. His lateral movement is fantastic. Bean Gunther, same way. You just like to watch guys that take passion in playing defense.
Well, and speaking of that, a name we haven't said yet, you know, that kind of gets lost in the shuffle of all the other names, Tate Bender over at Shawnee. His whole calling card is defense and what he's able to do to other teams' guards. And I mean, I compare him a lot to Anderson Varejao, the old Cavs player.
Oh, yeah.
He's just so tenacious and he will drive you crazy. He will get into your head. He will make you make mistakes because he wears you like a coat. He is just on you all the time. And he does a great job of doing it without getting himself into foul trouble.
Yeah. Coach of the Year, guys. We can look at a lot of coaches, and you, Aaron Elwood.
Almost as tough as picking the player of the year.
Kevin Sensabaugh, Quincy Simpson, and even the young kid down at Ridgemont, who have 16-3 and going to possibly be 19-3. What a season they've had! And I mean, there's so many great coaches. You said it earlier. We are so blessed with great high school basketball.
It's insane.
You know, this is the year, and I said this before. This is the year that I feel like since COVID, it's just like everybody's coming out. Everybody's going to the games. Everybody's there. Sellouts abundant, you know, and this is just great.
Well, I'll submit a name also. And if I was going to pick today, after what happened last weekend, I would go with Kevin Sensabaugh because, that team on Friday night was devastated. And then to get them to bounce back in one day and defeat DSJ, to me, that was very impressive. But Dre White over at Bath.
Yep. Oh, Dre's done a
completely fantastic. Turned that program
about
around.
Dre.
I mean, they're not going to win the WBL.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did not. No, because I have 15 jobs and sports dominates my life. And he said a name, and I'm like, Dre, he's doing pretty good.
No. Did you not hear the sentence you used when you said I forgot about Dre? When you're on this side of the table, puns just keep completely running from that side of the table.
You guys are fun.
Bryn Lehman at Defiance also. Nobody thought Defiance would be contending for the WBL.
Yep. Yeah, so he really turned that around. Also. Yeah, I don't know how, when it comes down to it, again, it's going to be a razor-thin margin when we have that conversation because we're going to have multiple teams that are ranked number one. They're going to be conference champions. They're going to turn their teams around. They're going to have, you know, number one seeds. I mean, there are so many good teams just within a 30-mile radius right now. It's crazy.
The one thing we need to factor in, too, is these players, how far can they take their teams down tournament trail? Coaches, can they get to the district championship? Should they even have been in the district championship? Should they get to the regionals or a state title? Who knows? Guys, our next door, the Staley Hustle Player of the Year. I like the swimmer. He's my new favorite athlete. I'm just going to be honest with you.
That was a great story.
I want to meet this kid. I want him right here. Yeah. Make that happen, Nate. That kid's got to get some kind of award from us, even the chocolate chip cookies. I don't care. He's my new favorite athlete.
Yeah, that was a cool story, and definitely a young man I'd like to talk to. If it's not him, though, how about Go-Go Ojo?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All over the floor, man. Yeah. Diving, getting every kind of loose ball you can imagine. He's a lot of fun to watch.
You know, to me, I think when we start talking about that Staley Hustle Player of the Year, right, you know, we're going to look at it differently than we look at our Player of the Year selection. So it's going to be, to me, that kid that kind of gets lost in the shuffle of, hey, I play on a really good team with high-profile players who are always kind of the guys that are getting the focal point, but I'm showing up, I'm doing the work, I'm doing the little things. Yeah. I'm just as big a part of success as my team, right?
Maybe it gives you juice off the bench.
So for me, two of those guys, one, we've talked about one of them. One of them is Jakel Cotton. I think that he is, you know, a guy that without him doing what he does for that team down low and being able to pull some of that focus that way, Lima Senior still would be a good team. I don't think that they would be as good. They wouldn't be able to do a lot of things that they do without him.
Yeah, what if he wasn't a team guy? What if he was a selfish guy? How
exactly
different would that team be?
And then the other one we haven't said yet, which is surprising, Carter Orr from Spencerville.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Carter Orr is a stud in his own right.
Doesn't get the ball enough.
But, you know, he had 14 points this last weekend in that game against St. John's. We talked about how he was going to have a good game if they win. He seems to always have a good game, but because of how good Will Sensabaugh is, Owen Sensabaugh, Carter doesn't get a lot of those headlines, but he's one of those guys that shows up. He's another team guy, and I think those are the types of guys that I will look at when we talk about that Staley Hustle Player of the Year.
Great point.
Absolutely. All right, guys, with the upsets last weekend, does it change your top three? For me, it did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you got?
So I've got Lima Senior.
Yeah.
I've got Spencerville.
Okay.
And I put Shawnee in there. I put Shawnee in there over Delphi St. John's. I got Delphi St. John's 4. Even though they beat Shawnee. Okay. Right. I've watched Shawnee a lot this year. They're just getting better. Here's the thing about Shawnee. Are you ready for this?
All right.
When they got beat by LCC, they won 8 in a row. When they lost again, they've won 6 in a row now. You want to talk about when Mark Triplett gets those guys focused, they're really going to be. If they win this game Saturday night, I'm not taking them out of my top 10 or my top 3. But, you know, I think you could make a case for each of those four teams.
Yeah. For me, it changed mine, but it didn't change mine. So I have Lima Senior, who I had last week. I had Ottawa Glendorf Girls, who I also had last week.
That's right. Right?
I mean, I don't know how we can talk about the best teams in this area without talking about them, especially after they had that win over Fort Laramie. They continue to dominate. Yeah. Just a tremendous team. And I cheated. I had to do a tie for third, and it's Delphi St. John's and Spencerville. You know,
so you got four teams.
Even though Spencerville
beat them, Spencerville lost Friday night to a Columbus Grove team that they should have beaten. Delphi St. John's they both only have one loss.
Grove match up so well with them though.
Well, and Columbus, we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about this, and maybe we should have. But Columbus Grove, we talked to Trent Barraza, right, at the end of football season, just at the beginning of basketball season. And he kind of alluded to it, like, you know, it's going to take us a little bit, but we'll be okay. Our goal right now is once we get to midseason that we're playing our best. That's a team that is playing their best right now. They are talented. They are really, really good. And, you know, they're only getting better, but now they're finally finding their legs,
Can
right?
Can I ask you guys a question? In all seriousness, I think we need to – look – We love Delphi St. John's. We think they're a really, really good team. But in all seriousness, how much have they benefited from this schedule? Because they had like 8 home games in a row. Let's be honest.
But schedule's your best friend.
No, it wasn't their fault. And don't get me wrong.
But their schedule's been brutal.
Oh, no.
It's not like they played easy teams. You said they lost to Spencerville. Yeah, they lost to Spencerville. But, you know, they beat Marion Local a week ago. That's their only loss.
Well,
the wins that they have are really, really impressive.
If you can play at home, play at home.
They're shooters, right? That's what their game is.
Yeah.
And those are home rims are soft, and I'm telling you, man, they're so good in that gym. They're so good.
Yeah, but you know what? When they go on the road, they still shoot pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Yeah. And as I say that, they got beat at home Saturday. Who's your top three?
Oh boy, no changes for me, man. Senior, DSJ, and Spencerville. Yeah, to me, those are just. You know,
why didn't you say that when the kids were here? All right, guys. Look, last thing on the list here. We get to visit so many schools during the winter for basketball. Who has the best concession stand, and what's your go-to?
Well, I want to thank all the concession stands for helping me build my body. Because, you know, we have to eat on the run so much, don't we? So I want to thank you guys for that. I have Elida because of the variety that they have there. I mean, you're like, what do you have? Well, what don't you have? I'll have the porterhouse. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they have there. They're fantastic. They do a great job there. My go-to is popcorn, right? Yeah. So anytime I get to go up to the Taj Mahal of basketball in Defiance and have a game there, their popcorn is phenomenal. And I'll tell you one, if you ever get a chance, drive up to Pettisville and watch a basketball game. It's going back in time in the 1950s. It's that kind of community. And they do caramel corn. Oh. And the smell just goes all through the gym.
It's drooling.
Yeah. And you'll take a little bit of bite of that caramel corn, and it's like heaven. It touches your lips, and then you want more, and you want more, and you want more. And
Grandma,
the next thing
shut
you know,
the door.
Your sugar is through the roof, but it's so good.
So for me, like, everybody loves a concession stand, but I like the places that don't have their traditional, right? Like, a lot of people like their hot dogs and their popcorn, and they like their basic
Jacob
things.
O'Neil.
Yeah. I'm not one of those. I want some real food in my concession stand, okay? So for me, and this is, you know, this is a little close to home, but it's Lima Senior. And I don't know if you've been to the Lima Senior.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Their concession stand has all sorts of stuff. Yeah, they have
including Lee's famous recipe chicken.
They have Lee's chicken in there. They have like the pretzels and the hot dogs and the pizza. But my favorite thing is then they started it this year and it went into football and now it's into basketball. They have smoked chicken from the Met
where
they do a bowl like with you can get smoked chicken and lettuce and cheese and sauce. It is
slow down, talk slower.
So good. It is, and that's the concession stand that I want, fellas. I don't give me cold pizza that's sitting in tin foil that's sitting on a shelf somewhere. Give me the smoked chicken concessions.
You've been listening to Cooking with the Three Wise Men.
Delicious eats.
I don't know if the viewers can tell, but food is something that we all really enjoy.
Yeah, right?
What do you mean?
For me, guys, it's real simple. If you serve Lee's, you serve me.
Oh, that's just telling you. Yeah.
Give me the chicken fingers, a cup of ice, throw some gravy on it with a straw. I'm good. Yep, I'm telling you. Best gravy in America.
Shawnee, I love Shawnee. They got Lee's. They get the mac and cheese as well, so you can get the mac and cheese from Lee's along with the chicken. It's great.
Why doesn't Lima on New Year's Eve have the Lee's famous recipe chicken drop in the middle of the town square?
It'd be genius.
Everybody in Ohio would go to Lima to watch a Lee's famous recipe chicken drop.
Lee's, where homestyle happens here.
All right, guys. I said last segment. I meant last high school segment. Now we're on to the best part of the show.
You guys
okay. All right. Nate's going to take a stroll. He'll be back. He's going to make a wardrobe change.
Doing.
Yeah. He's going to make a wardrobe change.
Wardrobe, please.
Yeah. Makeup. Okay. The Buckeyes are national champs, Miles. You and I celebrated. How did we celebrate? We celebrated by watching the game. We celebrated by buying gifts. We celebrated by calling people that didn't like us. We celebrated.
Yeah. I do have to say this, Danny. We almost lost the national title because we're in a group text exchange.
Yes, I know where you're going
with
this.
And we were up 31-7. And my good friend Danny Holbrook here, he makes the mistake of texting out, "Ladies and gentlemen, your 2024 national champions, the Ohio State Buckeyes."
It was 31-7. We had the ball, Miles.
It was almost to that minute, Notre Dame went on a run.
How did I know Emeka Buka was going to fumble?
Had he not fumbled, though,
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the show right now. It's the president of the Will Howard Fan Club. Go ahead and face the cameras, Will. Yeah, there you go. And this is a long time coming. Yeah, this is
it's like
amazing.
A Christmas story.
It is.
I look as happy as Ralphie did in the Pink Bunny costume.
Yeah, it's like a Hallmark moment. It's a Hallmark.
I got to get a picture of this.
He was a scorned lover for months, hating Will Howard, even though you and I kept saying, he's best for you. You should be with him. Be with Will Howard.
Oh,
and
goodness,
finally, you
goodness,
decided
goodness,
your
goodness.
Heart goes with Will Howard.
So does Nate finally love Will Howard?
Nah, I appreciate him. Thanks for the... I mean, you know,
Thanks for the national title.
Thanks for the natty,
thanks
Will.
For the natty, Will.
Thanks for the natty. We'll see you later.
Greatest performance in the history of the natty. But
made his first, completed his first 13 passes.
That's great. And then he completely did nothing in the second half. It almost cost us the game until he made until he almost underthrew Jeremiah Smith.
He's going to the NFL and he's going to break all Tom Brady's records. Don't you know that?
Great. You know what? I hope the Browns draft him.
Why punish Will like that? Ohio's favorite son.
Now listen, I told you guys this in the group chat, and there's been a lot. My indifference for Will Howard is well documented.
No.
All right. We don't have any evidence.
I don't hate Will Howard. Really? I have absolutely zero ill will. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't think that Will Howard is a bad quarterback. This narrative that he is this elite quarterback, though, is
like a
just
national championship quarterback.
Is great, because you're right. Every national championship quarterback is elite.
Stetson Bennett.
Quinshon Judkins got robbed. He should have been offensive MVP.
He got trucked from behind. Yeah. And he scored on that touchdown on that long run.
That's a great point. Somebody said it last week that look at all the great Ohio State quarterbacks who never won a national title.
And then
Justin
Will Howard.
Justin Fields, Troy Smith. You know, we could go on and on and on.
Here's my only last thing. And from here on out, I will be positive about Will Howard. Here's my last.
Because he didn't play there anymore.
Here's my last thing about Will Howard. Okay. And because I listened to Afternoon Huddle last week when you guys had Brady Stabler on.
Yeah.
Okay. And you cannot say that Will Howard was this great quarterback when the coaching staff clearly was not comfortable letting him continue to play his game starting that second drive of the third quarter. They took the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, they tried to
they played
clock.
The clock. Yeah, they played the clock.
Instead of just trusting Will to continue to run the offense. Yeah. If he was this elite, amazing quarterback, you would have had more confidence that he could just continue to run the offense, not cost you, and just kept the foot on the pedal. Instead, they're like, okay, we don't want that. Everybody was waiting. Everybody was waiting for that one Will Howard interception.
How many did he throw in the national championship game?
I turned it off. Listen. At the end of the day, I appreciate the Kansas State quarterback coming in, winning us a national title. He will forever be remembered as a national championship quarterback.
Yep.
He had some great moments for us. He was the quarterback ultimately that this team needed when they needed him. And for that, I will always appreciate Will Howard.
Nate, you said all year long he can't throw the deep ball. Come on.
He underthrew him. We're not going to do this. Not going to do this.
That throw to Jeremiah Smith.
It was a great throw.
Okay.
And it took a lot of guts to let that one go.
3rd and 11.
What about the one to Emeka Buka in the Rose Bowl down the seam? Oh, that's the best pass all year.
You're right. He did make some really good throws. Okay. And he had a great game. Right. And, you know, he won a national championship. Congratulations.
Are you ready to pick the Lima Senior Shawnee game now?
I love Will Howard. Let's talk more about how much I love Will Howard.
What's this mean for Ryan Day, guys? You get the monkey off the back?
He's a made man now, right? You could never really go after Ryan Day again until the last weekend in November.
Well, it changed the narrative, right? It went from, well, he almost won one to now he's almost won two.
Yeah.
Right? He has a national title. He almost won a second. I think the most interesting thing, though, everybody talked about how last offseason was the most important offseason that Ryan Day had, right? Coming off of that loss and having to remake this team. I don't think so. I think this offseason is the most important one. He's lost his defensive coordinator. Everybody is coming for his players. Jeremiah Smith has NIL money all over the place. Carnell Tate has NIL. People are coming to gut the Buckeyes.
You're going
to
see how much he can recruit.
Yes,
right?
This is going to. I think that this offseason, you're going to see what Ryan Day's made of.
Not only that, but now you have to develop the next quarterback.
Yeah,
there's nobody left in the portal that's a big name that could come in play. So
that was the same thing last year. We ended up with Ryan or Will Howard. So,
but I mean, they're
I'm sure there's
sold
another
on Julian Sain or Tavian Sinclair, right? Yeah. Or Lincoln Keenholz, if you believe that. But he's going to have to develop Julian Sain now because August 30th will be here before you know it, and an angry Texas team is going to be in Ohio Stadium.
I'm sure 2 weeks before that game, we'll finally name the number one quarterback.
Yeah, Oh goodness, guys. I don't like this question, but I'm going to read it anyways. Where does this Buckeye team rank in school history? For me, right now, they're number one because they just won the national title. I really don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
I get the question, I get the argument, but really, it's hard to compare. It really.
Yeah,
is.
I mean, history this is one of those questions that history will decide this ultimately, not us. Because if you think about it now, when you look back on the national championship team of 2014, right? Do you look at that as an all-time great team? That's everybody's personal favorite. To me, my number one team is the 2020 or the 2002 national championship team. That's my favorite. I was just out of high school.
Yeah.
That was when I first was like, you know, I can remember being away from home for the first time, going somewhere to watch this game. That's my favorite team.
And you know what's funny about that team is you look at the stars on that team. Craig Krenzel never made it in the NFL. Maurice Claret never made it in the NFL. Kenny Peterson never made it in the NFL. Mike Doss never made it in the NFL. I mean, just a whole bunch of great college players that were average or didn't make it in the NFL.
Well, you look at some of the great teams, like the 2014 Buckeye team, right? They didn't beat six teams in the top five, right? The 1968 team that everybody always talks about, you know, Woody's best team ever, did not beat six top 10 teams, right? Like this team. So, I think if you put this team up against even everybody says the great talent of 2014, I think this football team, because this defense was absolutely amazing, I think they beat that 2014 team.
I think so, too. And, you know, we talk about that 2014 team, but there's a lot of people that think that maybe that 2013 team was better, right? But they didn't get a chance to prove it because of the sanctions.
They go undefeated
with Urban Meyer. They don't lose a game, but they don't get to do a postseason.
2012.
Or 12, excuse me, because they don't get to do the postseason because of sanctions.
Yeah.
But maybe that team might have been one of the greatest ones that we ever had talent-wise.
We have so many questions like that. What if Paxton Miller were healthy for 4 years? You know, just questions like that. Yeah. Great players.
Well, the good thing about this team is they didn't leave it up to ifs, right? They went out and did it.
Yep.
How much Natty stuff are you guys buying? I know this cat.
As much as I can get my hands
I've got two T-shirts already. He's got 13.
Listen. I didn't send it to everybody, but I sent it to Miles.
He sent the Dick's Sporting Goods video.
I'm the one that sent it to him.
I'm watching. I'm going, oh, my gosh. I'm Miles Holiday on a national video for the Dick's Sporting Goods.
I'm scrolling through.
My wife goes, is he stealing or is he buying?
I'm scrolling through Facebook, and reels are coming up.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, this reel comes up, and it talks about Dick's Sporting Goods.
And listen,
I had a flip. I'm like, what if this is the one? And so I go back to purple, and I see the back of that jacket.
Yes.
I screenshot. I'm like, this is you, isn't it?
I just took my phone and I threw it on the couch, and I go, yeah, he made a national. I'm like, what's he doing? I go, he's
buying everything in Dick's.
Buying stuff, yeah.
I got home, and the lovely Lexi, my wife, says, how much? You don't want to know.
Did you get any takeout on the window? All right, guys. One last question. Is this the start of a dynasty? I know a couple months ago, Miles, you predicted.
I did.
Three national titles in 8 years.
Three in 8 years. This is going to be the golden age of Ohio State football. Ryan Day, now a made man. We saw him transform from a I'm not really sure, I'm not confident guy to he is totally in charge of this football program. Just go back and watch his press conferences. He is now a made man, won a national title. They are best set up for NIL than anybody in college football.
Huge, they
are going to get the best and the brightest. Don't worry about defensive coordinator. Jim Knowles moving on, we're going to be just fine. It's not like there's guys that you have to beg to play or coach at Ohio State, right? You're going to get a real quality defensive coordinator.
Oregon and Penn State at home next year?
Yeah. I really think three of the next 8 years that we're going to get two more championships.
So the only thing that gives me a little pause on it is this NIL stuff and this ability to whoever can have come up with the most money can have the best players. I think the real first test is going to be whether or not we lose Jeremiah Smith.
I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so either because if you know what the market is dictating. If he has this dollar amount and that's what's out there, Ohio State is going to know it. You have to come up with the money to keep him.
Right.
Now, I hate that that's where college football is at right now, and that's the state of college athletics, but it is what it is.
Right.
You either got to embrace it and be a part of it, or you're going to get left behind. So if they're able to come up with this and they pay what the market value is and they keep the players that they need to play, I think that we're looking at the start of something really special.
Yeah.
However, if for some reason all of a sudden there's this – ego thing that gets in play sometimes. Like, well, we'll just go find the next you, and we start letting some of these guys go who are so key to what we do. You know, we could find ourselves at the bottom real quick.
Yeah, if you have a kid like Brandon Ennis, who's a really good receiver, and Brandon Ennis gets an offer to go to Duke for $1 million, that's the kind of kid you look at and go, okay, see ya. Jeremiah Smith is going to be the greatest wide receiver in the history of Ohio State football.
I think college football.
Maybe college football. Yeah. You're not letting him go. You're going to do everything. Now, I can't promise you that because who knows what somebody in South Florida is going to offer. Who knows?
Well, there's also a chance that Jeremiah Smith does what Jamar Chase does, and he only plays one more season of college football, and then year three, he's just hanging out watching.
During COVID, though.
I'm just saying. Yeah. But it worked out. And that may be
he's pretty good.
Yeah, and that may start being a model for some of these guys who now are like, well, I got money in my pocket now. I don't have to go out here and show anything. I got enough tape. I got enough money. Everybody already wants to draft me. The comps are there. But I also don't want to – if I got to pay $4.5 million for one more year of Jeremiah Smith, I'm all in.
Like, we put a lot of our tax money back to the state of Ohio. Let's let some of that go to Ohio State's NIL. Right? Yeah. Come on, Governor DeWine, get with the times.
When you go and pay for your license plate renewal, you can mark the box if you'd like to donate $10 to the Ohio State NIL fund.
I'm in. Yeah, absolutely. I like it.
Prices, I'm in.
You guys talked about guys leaving Ohio State. All right, let me challenge you on this one. Give me one or two guys that has left Ohio State and gone on. And you're like, oh man, I wish he would have stayed. He's been absolutely sensational.
Oh no, it hasn't happened. I'm just saying moving forward, like, because now you've won that national championship. Right. We've already seen the headlines of people coming after Joe Burrow. You know, but Joe was a third string. He wasn't a starter. You're right. It hasn't happened yet.
I mean, remember Dallin Hayden, right? We were all terrified about Dallin Hayden going to Colorado. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm hoping that they know who they need to keep. And they keep who they need to keep within that program. And Ryan Day has never been a slouch at recruiting. As long as we continue to, I think Heartline is one of the best recruiters and coordinators in the country. I think that I agree with you. They'll figure out who saw Chip Kelly coming in to be the OC.
Right.
Ryan Day has ways of making things happen.
And we don't have to beat Michigan to win a natty anymore. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Guys, what a fantastic show. We want to thank our guests, Trevick and Beckett Berkey from the Shawnee.
Outstanding.
Shawnee basketball team. Guys, let's do it again next week and keep that shirt on, brother.
It'll be on forever. I'm getting it tattooed on my back.
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
For Danny Holbrook, Nate Garlock, Miles Holiday, you've been watching The Three Wise Men.